directing. Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity once more to step into your word, Lord, that it might walk in us, and Lord, that you might encourage us, empower us, and Lord, illuminate it in our hearts. Lord, I subject myself to your will. I say, Lord, that there's anything in the way that would hinder, Lord, we ask you to remove it right now. Lord, we ask that you would just bless the hearts of everyone that is listening, Lord, and also, Lord, let me learn as you teach. And Lord, we know you are the teacher, that we are here to learn from you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I did not ask Amy to do the Beatitudes because I wanted to go through them myself, because I'm going to bring that together as Mr. Green has already illuminated. I'm supposed to wrap this thing up. Well, it's already been wrapped up, folks. We're just walking in it and living it as God performs it.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm enjoying the journey. I don't know about you. I hope you're enjoying it, because this is one that the world can't give it to me, and the world can't take it away.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to start. And seeing the multitudes, starting with Matthew 5, 1 through 12. He went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Oh, yes. Every day I get up and say, Lord, well, looking to see your face in that day when I can say, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can never thank him enough for what he's done in my life. And, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that are persecuted. Blessed are the peacemakers, I'm sorry, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that are reviled and persecuted and falsely for my sake. For great, I don't mean just a little bit, but great. You know how great it is that God is looking down on us and seeing that we're willing to stand with him today in a world that's lost,
right,
in a place where no one else will take up the fight and say, Lord, we're standing with you.
Yes.
And he says, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for I know that, you know, when I think about Peter and James and John, who are men who had forsaken all to follow Jesus, and to hear him say these words, that if you want to be in the kingdom of heaven, that you need to take on these attributes. It must have sounded like Greek to them, because they were still unborn. They had not been regenerated. And to see that they had been taught under the law that they were God's people, a chosen people, set apart unto him, and they kind of figured that was all that was necessary, that they could obey the law, and God would accept them for who they were. But, you know, the Old Testament does not teach that. It has never taught that. It tells us that Abraham was accounted righteous because he believed God. God has never accepted man on the basis of his works. The works have always been an outcome of his faith. And you know, God now is pointing out to them that that was not going to be enough to get rid of that sin debt that we all carry with us from our mother's womb. That there was something necessary that had to take place in man's heart so that he could be accounted righteous. And that it would be something drastic. Look, man today is not trying to get poor in spirit. He's self-righteous, arrogant, rebellious, and doesn't want to know anything about what God has to say about his word. But you know, God said, if you're willing to lose your life for my sake, that I'll give you a life you can't lose. And I know everybody in here that knows him knows that is a reality, that you can't lose it because God gave it to you.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, if you want to talk about mourning, we've had a share of mourning this week. Folks can have self-pity. They can feel like, you can't treat me that way, but God has been so good to us to let us get up this morning. To let us know that we've got another day that we can praise him, that we can lift up our voices and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
And I'll never get tired of saying thank you, because I know where he brought me from, you know. And some of you know that that's true, too, that if he hadn't brought you out, you'd still be there. And, you know, when you talk about being meek, the world looks at meekness as weakness. I grew up in a neighborhood where it was mixed, and I'm mixed too, but I wasn't on the right side of either tracks. All I got was, hey, man, put up your hands and fight. And I'm not a fighter, not that way. I never saw any sense in getting up and trying to beat somebody's brains out just to prove that I could do it. You know, didn't make any sense to me. So most of the time, I was running home from school trying to hide from the bullies. Till one day, my father caught me, you know, and he says, what's that all about? I said, oh, he just wants to see if he can beat me. He said, well, I'll tell you what, son. He said, yeah, you got to come home. He said, nah, I want you to go over there and give him what he asked for. So I said, I knew what was at home. I didn't know what he could, this other young man could. So I went over and accommodated him. And I beat him up, and then, you know, he became my best friend. I said, now, isn't that crazy? I got to beat somebody up to make a friend of them. When Jesus said, come unto me, all you lowly, and take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. Now, I like that idea a lot better, because, you know, I didn't have to fight and wear myself out and bruise my knuckles on somebody else's body. But, you know, the world just thinks that's the way they want to achieve satisfaction, is put the other guy down and lift yourself up. But that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to reach out to the lowly and those that are beat up in this world and tell them to come in. Come on in. The door is open. You don't have to stay out there and let the world beat you up. God will give you the strength to stand up. To say, Lord, I'm depending on you.
Amen.
You take my life and do what you want with it. And he will. I'm a crybaby. Most of you will find that out if I stay around long enough. But when I saw that woman that God gave me tonight stand up here and sing the way she did, knowing what she was feeling. And it's a fulfillment of a vision that I've had for the last 16 years.
That's beautiful.
And, boy, I'm telling you, it just touched my heart. I appreciate what God's doing in our life. I know that It's wonderful. Sometimes we look at the situation and we say, well, why is this happening? Well, it didn't go my way. I wanted it, you know, I thought it ought to go that way. Hey, put it in God's hands, and it's going to work out. Hunger and thirst after Him, His righteousness. See, we got to look at this thing from God's perspective. I'm telling you, Peter, John, Paul, and Thomas, and James, and all them guys had a rough time, you know, understanding this thing because they had to deal with that old nature. They were still saying, "Lord, what am I going to get out of this? Lord, you can't do that. You can't go to the cross and leave us." That's the way we are in the natural. We want it our way. But God said, look, there's got to be a change in you that you can't make yourself. That He had to go to that cross so He could accomplish it for you. Amen. And then impute it to you.
Right.
It wasn't something you deserved. It wasn't something that you could go out and buy and say, look, I've got more money than you. You know, look at who I am. Didn't care whether you were the mayor or the governor or whatever. Reba said they're going to take away paratransit in Pennsylvania. You know, I don't, if they take it away in every state in the union, God's going to make a way for His own.
Amen.
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 I don't, there's nothing they can do to stop this thing from going where God is directing it. Because He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And I believe it. I believe that everything that He said is going to happen just the way He planned it.
Amen.
And you know what? I don't need this. I got about 3 chapters full of notes there. But you know what? My helper's arrived. Thank God for that, you know. I believe in the Holy Spirit preaching the sermon. I'm just the voice that He uses to direct it to you and to make it real. And you know, righteousness is something that we need in the church today.
Amen.
We've got people shacking up. You know, we got mixed up messes, you know. And they call themselves ministers, too. Say that they're going to, you know, bless somebody by getting up in the pulpit after they've been hanging out all night doing something that's an abomination to the Lord. Fornication is an abomination to the Lord of any sort. I don't care whether or not you feel like this is the way the Lord made me. No, He didn't. Because when I go back to Genesis, it said He made Adam and Eve. He didn't make anything else that looked or seemed like them. He made them so that they could be one. The family today is a picture of the Trinity.
Amen.
And what man is trying to do is to blur that image with his own lust and deviousness.
That's right.
And we and the church need to say so.
Amen. Yes.
It's not God's plan.
No,
and it's
not.
Certainly not righteous.
That's right.
We can't go out and murder one another with our tongue and say, I'm a good Christian. You know that? You got to say, tell the truth.
Amen.
I don't care whether it hurts or not. You know, the word says, if you don't mean what you say, don't say anything.
Amen.
You're better off dealing with God with the issue in your heart than making everybody aware that you're a liar.
Amen.
That's true. This word is, the only way you're going to be blessed by it is you live it in the righteousness that He gave it to us. And, you know, I know that I want to be filled. Don't you want to be filled with God's presence?
Amen.
When you walk in this world, you need God with you.
Amen.
You can't just walk around here thinking that you're big enough and bad enough to do what you want without Him. Because it just don't happen that way. And you know what? God is working in NCCB. Because the devil doesn't come against anything. Did you know, he hasn't wasted his time with folks that ain't doing anything. Do you know that?
Amen.
Every time you try to do something, he's going to try to show up.
Right.
But we got something for him. The word says resist him, and he'll flee from you.
That's
right.
That's
You just stand on that truth that he's given us and to do just like our Lord and Savior says, give it right back to him, because he'll try to twist it and pervert it, but we know the way that he meant it. Amen. Because he's the one that illuminates it in our heart by his Spirit.
Amen.
Now, we can still be merciful, because, look, if I just take the attitude, well, I've got it, and, you know, you got to get it the best way you can, that's not mercy. It's saying, you know, look at me. I got myself just like the Pharisees. I'm self-righteous. The pride. And God hates pride. He said he would not despise a humble and contrite heart. Hey, Lord, I'm helpless without you. I know that. I'm telling you, because I tried to do it all by myself for many a year. I've been saved since I was 13. But you couldn't tell it for 39 years of it. I'm telling you, I ran around at the age of 14 or 15 with my Bible and tried to convert everybody in West Philadelphia. But, you know, without the proper training and guidance as a youngster, I got off track. And nobody could tell me I wasn't saved, because the Lord said he'd witness to my heart that I was his own. And you don't lose that witness, but you know what sin does in your life? It blocks that fellowship with the Lord. You're out there just as lost as the one who's, you're trying to tell about Jesus, because you're not communing with him. And God was merciful enough to wait till I was in my 50s and say to me, Enoch, it's time to get right. How did he say it? I turned on a radio on an AM station one day. And I heard, I don't know if it was Swindoll or Stanley, but it was my time to listen. And he had me on my knees by that bed saying, fix me, Lord, because I can't fix myself. I had let sin invade my, you know, daily activities to the point of where I didn't really feel like I was saved, even though I knew I was, you know. I knew there was something wrong. And folks, we can't live in both sides of this world. We got to be in one place or the other. And I said, Lord, you fix me, and I will not ever look back. And that was 17 years ago, and I haven't turned around to see if there's anything behind me. If it is, it's never going to catch me. Amen. Because I'm headed for the halls of glory, and that's where we're all going. And I want to see, you know, some folks that I know when I get there. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I asked the Lord was, Lord, because I know I was one of those people, if I said I could do it, I'd go after it, and 9 times out of 10 get it done. But you know what? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to count numbers. I don't want to even know how many you use me for, or how many, you know, are going to get there because of the word that you speak through me. I just want to know that, Lord, you've given me the opportunity. Because, you know what? It's not us anyway.
Amen.
That anything we do, it's because he's using us for his glory.
Amen.
And, you know, anytime it gets to be anything else, we need to give it up. Because the only way we're going to get the job done is if he is in the one in the driver's seat.
Amen.
And, I thank God that he's using each and every one of you. You didn't come down here, I hope, just for a social.
No.
I don't think you came just because you like me. Maybe just a little bit. But, you know, and some of you, I've sat in the Bible school with, went through the courses in theology and so forth, and I thank you for what God's doing in your life and being still in my life as well. But you know, we have to have what God says, a pure heart. Now, how do you get a pure heart? I mean, when I get up in the morning, somebody says something to me, and my brain doesn't stop working because I'm a Christian. It's still part of this world. And I have thoughts that I have to deal with. But you know what Paul said? Hey, we're to bring them under authority of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Instead of digging up that mess and thinking about what they might do to you, or what you could do to avoid interacting with them, or how much you better you are than they are, and what, get rid of that nonsense.
Amen.
Say, Lord, help them so we can walk together, so that we can do what you've purposed for each one of us. Because there's nobody that I've met that I, my father, well, my father used to tell me, because when they come to me, I was standing on the corner one day, 14 years old. Man walks up to me and says, you know, you could pass. I said, pass for what? He said, you know, you could pass. I said, why would I want to? He just looked at me. He didn't have an answer for that. But you know what? I don't have to try to pass. My grade card has already been stamped.
All right.
Complete.
Amen.
It was finished. On Calvary,
Yes. When
he looked down and saw those people standing beneath his cross, he said, it's finished. I can't add anything to it. You can't.
Right.
We can only do what he gives us to do, to represent him, to be a witness for him, and to glorify him in the process. And, you know, that's good, because it's the want to he wanted to change. It wasn't that you're going to get it right every day, that you're never going to miss the beat. But you know what? If you got that one-two working, you'll get back where you belong.
Right.
It took me 39 years. Some folks would say, well, you were never saved. You can't undo what God's done. And he's not interested in time the way we are. He's going to work it out anyway. He said that he's never started anything that he didn't bring to completion. Amen. And he's going to complete the work he started in each one of us. He's going to bring it to such a completion that we're going to be standing around the front room rejoicing. Hey, I'm rejoicing before we get there. I hope you do too. Amen. But that means that there's things that I can do in this world, because I have the ability to see things from his perspective. That's what those Beatitudes are telling us, that he's going to give us the ability to see things the way they should be, not the way they are. Because the world would like us to, you know, join the crowd, and this is status quo. You can't get out there and do something different. Hey, I am different. I know that you're different. I know that we're strangers, just like Israel was out there in the wilderness and in the Canaan. They didn't know anything about that land. You know, God led them there so that he could get them to listen to him. And sometimes, you know, God will put us in a place where he can get our attention so that we can listen up. And we need to stay there. Don't just get there and say, well, Lord, I heard you this time, but maybe I'll come back in a week or so. That's the way the Israelites did it. You know, that they were the ones that God had promised the kingdom of heaven. It wasn't promised to you and I. We're going to be there as a result, because he told Abraham that he would be a blessing to all the nations. And I just happen to feel that as for one of his people, because that word nations could be translated people. And God loves the little people too, you know. Folks, we're all getting a little older. We need to touch those little people out there. We need to let them know that there's a God who wants them to come in while they're young. Don't let them get to 39 or 40 or 50 or 60, because what happens? The world is doing everything it can to harden their hearts. I mean, from the time they're that small now, not 2 or 3 years old. They want to put them in a program so that they can learn, you know, how to adjust to society. You can't adjust to something that's a mess.
Right.
I mean, you just become another malfit.
That's true.
Hey?
Right.
That's what I see. So we need to tell them the truth. And if you love them, and they're your grandchildren or your children or your neighbors, if they, neighbor doesn't, you know, tell you, don't you talk to my child. Well, hey, the child might still come to you and say, well, what did I, you know, happen when the world was created? Just tell them that there's a God who created it and made it, and that he wants to have a personal relationship with you.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen.
Little things like that, you drop it in their heart. Mm-hmm. Maybe 20 years later, they might try to find out what that meant.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those little nuggets are...
Yeah.
God, the truth is something that God blesses.
Amen.
That he works through.
Yeah.
And, hey, the only way you're going to know that is if you have the attitude that I've got something to give.
Right.
You know, I can go to my job. I can go to my friends. I can go, you know, on my little trips. But if I don't have the right mindset, you know, what is it? It's just another form of entertainment for me. But, you know, when they go and say, Lord, wherever I am in this world, there's somebody that needs to know you.
Amen.
And we're peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, they're peacemakers because they want to give what God has given to them to someone else. The world has sat at conference tables for all of its history signing peace treaties. And they haven't kept one yet.
Amen.
They're going to continue to do that and say, well, let's all be one. All they got to do is go back in Genesis and see that the Tower of Babel, that mindset, I guess, was not only that they wanted to be one in you know, family, but they wanted to stand against God. That they were going to make them a tower to reach the sky. Why? Two reasons. They get up there and worship the sun, moon, stars, and all the creation. And the other was, if he makes another flood, we've got some place to run and hide. You can't hide from God.
Amen.
You know? God said, let's go down and see what these folks are doing, you know, I paraphrase it. But he I can imagine he was laughing at them. You know, that this is, look, what is this nonsense, you know? And all he had to do was confound their language, stopped all of that. And yet they're still trying to do the same thing today. Every time I turn around, they're putting up a higher building. What for? Look, they didn't learn anything from 9/11. Didn't learn one thing from it. That 3,000 people lost their lives, though. And yet nobody said, Lord, protect this country, and we'll get back on our knees and say, Lord, we will serve you, the living God. That's what America needs. That's what this world needs. And God's only doing it, as the brother said, on an individual basis. You can't take a group of folks, we're going to have a prayer conference, and everybody come and pray, and nobody's saved. You know, they don't... When you go to a prayer conference today, we're praying for this, that, or the other, but nobody's praying to get saved. It's a social, the world is full of a social gospel.
That's right.
Let's all get together and feel good.
No.
We don't need it.
No.
I already feel good. How about you?
Amen.
I don't want anybody to make me feel good, because that feel good feeling is going to go away if I base it on something that's temporal. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
And you can't take what God gives from anybody in this world. Because if he gave it, he meant for you to keep it. And he's going to be the one that sees that you do.
Amen.
You can get a little haughty at times and think, well, you know, Lord, I've arrived. But you know what? He takes his children to the woodshed.
Amen.
He does. Don't think that, you know, because you've been to seminary or because you've, you know, been a pastor or because you've been on the mission field or because you've done so many good works that God won't take you out and spank you. He will. And look, when I first started to get back in the right, avenue with him, I still had a little trouble with my tongue at times, saying some things I shouldn't. He opened doors for me, but they were half open, and I got to walking into them, and I got all these nicks across my eyebrows, and I'd say, you know what taught me? I can control my tongue.
Amen.
I was not thinking about that till about the third or fourth time, and I said, you know, Lord, I think you're trying to tell me something. And you probably could hit me with a hammer right now, and I bet you I would say, ouch, pretty loud, but you couldn't get any of those four-letter words out of my mouth anymore.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, he whatever means he uses, it's for our good.
Amen.
And for his glory.
Amen.
And I'm better for it. You know, I don't want nobody to say, well, you call yourself a Christian and that you can't clean up your act? No, how could I go out and talk to somebody about Christ and my words are something else?
Amen.
That I'm not living what I'm speaking.
Amen.
Hey, look, if there's somebody here today that's in that boat, just ask the Lord to help you with it. Now, you might get a few nicks and burrs in the effort, but God will do what he says. He'll clean you up.
Yes,
he
will.
And he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from them. Because, you know what? Getting up in the morning, knowing that he's made peace with me. Do you know what? Everybody in this world, God has made peace for them, with him. There's nobody needs to go to hell. The only way you're going to hell is force your way in. Because hell wasn't created for you. It was created for the fallen angels and the devil.
Amen.
In fact, if you get there, you'll have to say, Lord, I just reject everything you've ever done for me. I don't want it. I never knew you, and I don't want to know you. You know? But he still loves him. He loves every sinner that's going to hell. He's already paid the price for their sin. He's been God has reconciled the world to himself. He's been satisfied.
Amen.
By what his son did.
Right.
And made peace with us. How about we make peace with one another? That, you know, we're not all going to say what we need to say to one another because of differences in concepts of who and what we believe to be right. Let me tell you something about right and wrong. The Bible does not judge on the basis of right and wrong. The Bible judges on the basis of God's idea of what is good and what is evil. Well, looks at things and says, this is right and this is wrong. God said it's good or evil.
Right.
We've got folks walking around today talking about abortions.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Mm-hmm. We've got people saying that euthanasia is good.
Right.
We've got people saying that it's right in their eyes to do these things because it's best for me. It's what I think is right. It meets the status quo. Because you know what the status quo is? The majority of people who are wrong. That's what the status quo is. And you can get all of that you want every day. But God said it's good or evil. And his word tells us the difference.
Amen.
If he tells us that it's murder is wrong, it's wrong. And it's evil, too.
That's right.
If he tells us that, abortion is evil, then it's evil because God creates life. He's never created death.
Right.
He has nothing to do with death. In fact, it's a totally alien thing to him. He cannot die, and nothing that he's created was intended to die.
Right.
We died spiritually because of what? Sin.
Sin.
That's what killed it. Our relationship with God, people say, well, I'm walking around, I'm healthy, I'm good, to go. But you're just as dead as a doornail.
Amen.
I can nail, take that nail and pound it into a piece of wood. Maybe even split it. But that nail ain't got any life in it. It's dead. You know, it's a piece of inanimate material. And there's many folks walking around in the same condition, moving from place to place, doing what they want to do, but dead spiritually. And they're going to end up leaving this world that way if they don't get the message that God has made peace with man, and we can make peace with him. And you know what? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice till I can't rejoice anymore, because I'll be in his presence and I won't have to get tired anymore. I won't have to worry about getting sick. I won't have to worry about, sleeping or wondering about what's tomorrow going to bring. I'm looking forward to him teaching me for eternity, because I'm pretty stupid, man, when you get right down to it. You know, I say, Lord, you know what? I study your word, and I just don't know anything, you know, because it's so awesome. The more you study God's word, the bigger he gets.
Amen.
You know that?
Amen.
That's the bigger he gets, and the smaller you get.
Amen.
And when you comprehend that, at least you got an idea of who you're dealing with.
That's right.
And we can say that we can rejoice in him today, because he is here with us now.
Yes.
I'm telling you, there's folks sitting in this room right now that need to know him that way. You didn't come here because you were looking to hear what God had to say to you. You thought this was a good place to fellowship, that you'd have a good social time, you'd end up eating some good food, and turn around, go home and say, oh, Lord, I'm looking forward to the next day. But you've never said, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way.
Amen.
And without that, it doesn't mean a thing. It's empty. You can't rejoice with me, because you got to have the same thing I've got. You got to know him for yourself. You got to understand that he will change you, that he will give you a spirit that is humble. He will give you the comfort that you need in the time of trouble. He will give you the ability to be meek instead of offensive. He will give you the righteousness that he has, so that he can fill you with his presence. He will be merciful to you, because you will know how to be merciful to those that you interact with. He will also clean up your thinking. It ain't stinking no more, it's thinking. You know, I'm telling you, some folks just, don't have any idea that God wants you to think like he does. You know, he wants you to look at this world from his perspective. And he'll do that. He'll clean you up. And he'll make peace with you from day to day, because you're the one that's going to need to, say, Lord, you know, I messed up. Clean me up. Get me back to where I'm at peace. I had a teacher used to say to me, hey, if you're not at peace with the situation, leave it alone. Because God's not in that. If you're still, trying to figure it out and what should I do and what, just leave it alone. God will get to it in time. He's not in a hurry. He knows what the outcome is anyway. We sometimes think he's locked into time. He's not. God is eternal, present. Every time, moment that passes, God is eternally present. He hasn't lost a heartbeat, doesn't know if his pulse is going to run fast or none of that, because he's not affected by those things. That's where we are. That's where we live. But I put my heart in his hands. Put your heart in there, too. And when you do, you're going to know the peace that he alone can give. And situations that seem like they're insurmountable. Oh, I need a new home. Oh, Lord, I just don't like living here. Put yourself where he can use you, and he might move you. He's not going to move you if you're never willing to say, Lord, I'm available to do anything.
Amen.
God wants folks that he can move. Because this world's moving fast. It's gone its way to hell as fast as it can get there. But he wants us to move in the direction that he's going. And take somebody with you.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, populate the kingdom. Compel them to come. You know what compelled me? It means almost go out and drag them in there. Because as we heard from Joel, that the world's out there trying to drag them in. And been doing a pretty effective job of it. And Jesus said that they become twice the devils that they were, because they, you know, they catch them at a young age and they get their minds all twisted up and tell them, you're in, but they don't even know they're in themselves. You know, it's unfortunate. Well, why would people believe stuff like that? Because sin in their lives deadens their ability to see the truth. You've got to cut through that with what? With the light that God has put in you. With the salt that he's given you that preserves and that seasons and that will, you know, open their eyes to the truth. And there's no better witness than one who can speak the truth and live it. If you look, I got a man, he runs the old funny car that, what's his name, Jenkins, they used to run at ATCO years ago. I used to even go see the races there when this former owner was doing it. And he runs funny cars and these high-speed bikes at the tracks and the Nationals and all. And you know what? He said, Enoch, I've never met a man like you. Because I don't tell nothing but the truth. I don't bite my tongue. I don't care how much money you got. You can't buy me. You know, the Lord already bought me. That's right. And, you know, now, I don't know. He's threatening to come to church. But, I don't want him to come to church. I want him to come to Jesus Christ. And, you got to stand up for it when it's not popular, when it's not, the thing to do, because, people are going to look down their noses at you. One of the things about being blind is I can't tell what they're looking at. And I don't much care either. I used to have that problem when I was married before my wife, present wife and I, who are going to be married till the Lord takes us home. And I told her, she can't get away from me. I don't care how much she tries. she'd tell me, folks are looking at us. I said, I don't care what they're looking at, you know. As long as they keep it to themselves, they got, their eyes and their head. They can do what they want with them. But don't come over here and, try to do anything about it. Because I would have jumped in the case then. Because I would die for that woman right over there just as I would the first one I had married. And, that's the way we need to feel about our Lord and Savior. I want to say, get out there and make it happen. Give the word, and God will bless it. He's promised to. He said it wouldn't return void. It's going to accomplish what he puts it forth to do. That's what he said. And I believe everything he said in that Bible.
Amen.
Right? And not because somebody else tried to figure it out for me and tried to tell me what it was. You got to find out for yourself. You can use the concordances and commentaries and all of the Bible dictionaries, but you better make sure it lines up with what God has said. And he is about changing lives. He's about giving life. He's about using your life for something that's worthwhile. Your life is not worth anything without him. It's a waste. Just as Solomon said, all is vanity. He didn't find out till after he tried it all. Wore himself out in the effort. But we can wear ourselves out knowing that it's worthwhile. Because Paul said that there's an inheritance laid up for each one of us that is undefiled, incorruptible, and that fadeth not away. And I'm looking for mine. Amen. I've got nothing in this world to hold on to. I'm not going to say, Lord, just leave me here a little longer when he says it's time to go home. I'm going to say, Lord, I hope I finished my course. I've tried the best I could. I got a little late start, But I'm running fast as I can right now. Amen.
And,
oh, yes. And I'm rejoicing along the way. Hey, sometimes, Jimmy will tell you, I get in my room with my computer, throw a CD in there, and I have church all by myself. You know, I don't. Me and the Lord, you know, we can have church right there. And it's so good because he can touch your heart and renew your strength and make you, you know, say, Lord, you know what? I don't feel beat up anymore. I feel lifted up.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, rejoice. God bless you.